Thinking about getting a pet? A few simple decisions now could save years of challenge later. This is Pet Matters. I'm Mona Chiney, and I've been speaking to veterinary nurse and pet behaviorist Joanna Sutherland about choosing the right pet. In part two, Jo explains how to prepare your home, create the right environment, and avoid common behavioral problems before they develop. Let's get started.
I guess it's about really the compatibility of lifestyle and also to the breed. Not everyone has a suitable environment. What would you say for a person who has a home, or I would say a larger home versus an apartment?
So as long as you can accommodate their needs, there's an option for a wide variety of choice. But you also need to be sensible. You know, a Great Dane in a really small flat, they're just going to send that coffee flying off the table and everything's just going to get broken. But there are ways around things if your lifestyle fits, but perhaps your house is a bit smaller. You can compensate by increasing mental stimulation and making sure that dogs get out and get lots of exercise and socialization. And then they're going to come home and have a nice sleep. So there are workarounds, but absolutely, it's something to consider. So for example, I always tend to be working gun dogs. And currently I have a Cavapoo because my lifestyle changed. And I wanted to make sure that I was able to provide, you know, have the right breed for what I could offer in relation to time and energy and exercise and that sort of thing.
That brings me to a thought. I always do that look up about personalities and on the internet, because it's very hard to choose when you're stuck on a breed based off of someone saying, if you're athletic and you go out, then you choose this one. What do you say about that?
You're completely right. It's important to start with that information and do that research and take that on board. So we're looking at breed specific traits. So if you're a runner, you know, you might want a breed like a Dalmatian that likes to run, but you've got to look at the breed as a whole. And then even when we're talking about breed specific traits, you're going to have variations within that breed. So personality might vary slightly from one end to another, but breed traits are a good place to start. What was the dog originally bred to do? So what are the behaviors that are going to interest them? Do they like to swim? Do they like to run? But then you're going to get different personality. So for example, if you were to pick something like a border collie, they're quite happy to get out and get some exercise and they love that. But they're so fiercely clever that they also need so much more than just that large amount of exercise. They're going to need that mental stimulation. They're going to need that training, or you're going to, as I say, tip into potentially behavior problems. So it's looking at it holistically, taking the breed traits, as you say, the sort of general personality traits, but then looking also at things like how much mental stimulation they're going to need as well.
I see. And that mental stimulation varies for tolerance. So what do you say about when people have children already? Should it start at a puppy? Should the dog be a little bit older? How is that adjustment? What would you recommend to families who are introducing puppies, or, you know, even a rescue dog to a family that already has small children?
So obviously, something important to note is that dogs kind of see children as different entities. They don't necessarily, when you look at a dog, a puppy's just a very bouncy version of the adult. When you look at humans, we're very different from babies to toddlers to young children to teenagers with the hormones and everything. So it's important that the rescue dog has ideally had socialization with children of the age that you're going to be bringing them and introducing them to, so you know they're going to be sound around them. And if you have puppy and you're bringing them in, there are some really important boundaries, particularly with young children. So the most common problem I see, obviously puppies are nippy and mouthy because that's how they play with each other. It takes quite a long time to teach puppies to not be mouthy because it's going against a natural behavior. So we need to make sure that there's an element of calm in the house. I know it's exciting to have a puppy, but puppy needs time to sleep. That's one of the key problems I see. The mouthiness will get worse if the puppy is not left alone and it's constantly being cuddled by the children. So I think having a family meeting before the puppy arrives, making sure the children are involved in, you know, buying the things that the puppy's going to need, but also putting those boundaries in early. If the puppy is in their crate or their space, that's their rest time, can be really useful. And training and things like that, dogs can get very frustrated, anxious, they can get low self-esteem if the training isn't the same, if there's the children are doing one thing and the adults are doing something else. So it's great to get the children involved. In fact, it's vital but always under parental supervision and make sure everybody's using the same words, the same hand signals, that sort of thing.
That's a family effort, that's for sure. And yes. What happens when a family or a person has another animal? How do you suggest to deal with that?
Yeah, so I have a cat and a dog. And actually, my cat she's a rescue cat. She was raised by my Labrador, so she's kind of dog in her behavior. But it's really important to consider the existing pets in the home. And it might be that you just need to wait, that it isn't going to be appropriate. It's better for the pet that you've got to not be having to deal, especially if you've got perhaps an older cat and you want to bring a puppy into the house. It might be better to wait. But obviously, you can get advice from your veterinary surgery and, online about, from the Kennel Club and places to look at the right breed, to look at the way to introduce, and advice from professionals like myself before introducing it. Because the internet's a funny thing. There can be quite a lot of misleading information. It can be very confusing. And the other thing that people can do is they'll try one thing and not for long enough, and then they'll try something else. And actually getting the right advice, for example, introducing a dog to a cat that's existing in the house, or cat to another cat in the house, getting professional advice from a behaviorist will make sure that you have the best chance for it to go well.
On that note, I'd like to just ask you about the aspect of dealing with predatory and instinctive behavior. Where do you draw the line as into this is not a good deal versus I should keep on trying?
Absolutely. I think if you're starting to see stress behaviors in either the existing pet or the pet that's arrived, obviously there's breed differences and obviously with the species difference between cats. But if you're starting to see stress responses, or even before that, if there's no forward motion with the relationship and you are doing everything that your expert, your qualified or accredited expert has advised, then it's important that what we don't do is create behavior problems, because that's then harder for those pets to be rehomed. So if we've left it to the point where, for example, a dog's now being reactive and aggressive in any way, then that's going to be incredibly hard to find a new home. It can go both ways. It might be the cat's bullying the puppy. That happens that way too. So, looking out for signs of stress and just being prepared, absolutely, when you're choosing to do this, that maybe it's not going to work. And what are you going to do if that happens? Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jo. It's a lot to consider. Thank you for your time. And until next time, make sure that everyone, I would say, look into what they're buying and what they're purchasing and what animal is going to be brought into the home before they just bring it onto the dominant animal or just the family overall.
Yes, absolutely.
Join me next month on Pet Matters when Jo Sutherland returns to talk about understanding pet behavior and how to better interpret your pet's action and needs. In the meantime, if you're considering getting a pet or know someone who is, I hope today's conversation has been useful. Please share what you've learned with friends and family. I'm Mona Shanae, and we'll see you next time on Pet Matters.